Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. And welcome to another edition of GC Talk, and this is Pastor Brett Walker of Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And joining me again is Pastor Zach Taylor. Pastor Zach is the pastor of New Hope United Methodist Church in Pensgrove and a recent elder candidate also, correct? You're going to be going on to the Board of Ordained Ministry, as I understand. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's up for provisional membership, but it's one step closer to elders' orders.
Right. So for those who don't know, with the United Methodist Church, the ordination process is long, to say the least, involved. Pastor Zach, as a graduate of, you went to, was it Boston College Seminary?
Boston University School of Theology.
Okay. Sorry.
No,
Boston University. All right.
Yes.
School of
Theology.
Theology. Okay.
Yes.
I'll get that right. And as a graduate of Boston University School of Theology, then you are eligible to become a provisional elder and then go on from there to become, after 2 years, I think, right? 2 years,
yes,
of being a provisional elder, then you go up against the you go up to the board again in 2 years, and then they can affirm you for full ordination, full, yes, membership to the United Methodist Church.
Yes.
So, well, good luck to you in that process, but I know that's not what you wanted to talk about today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce your topic today?
Sure. So what I would like to talk about is kindness. Especially in these dark days, I think kindness and compassion and understanding are sorely lacking. And for obvious reasons, I know all of us are struggling and all of us are trying to make sense of what's going on, especially with COVID-19. But I can't help but wonder why it's so difficult for us to at least show some level of compassion. And what sparked this conversation today was I was in the grocery store a couple of weeks ago buying a few things, and I'm in the line at the checkout and in the IGA, which is right down the street from me, and they have X's marking social distance and stuff, and I set my stuff on the conveyor and waiting to get checked out, and there was someone in front of me, and I was putting the basket down under the register, and I leaned forward a little bit, and the guy just started freaking out. He's like, 6 feet, 6 feet. And he started saying all kinds of expletives under his breath, shaking his head, putting the Lord's name in vain. And the cashiers are looking at him like he's crazy. And he storms out, still cursing up a storm. And I'm like, all I did was lean down to put my basket under the register. And that, like, really shocked me. I mean, I understand people are on edge, but, you know, he could have at least said, sir, you know, I wish you would not be so close to me, you know, instead of flipping out. So that's kind of what is sparking this conversation today and why it's so hard for us to at least show some level of kindness to each other, especially with what's going on.
Mm. You think a lot of that has to do with everybody? I know, like you said, like everybody's on edge right now.
Yeah.
We're at a point where we have a lot of raw feelings, I think, because a lot of people are cooped up. They're tired of being at home all the time.
Yeah.
You know, certainly his reaction was an overreaction, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I always like to think, though, too, I try to err on the side of kindness myself.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'm not responsible for somebody else's feelings. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know what's going on in somebody's life in that moment. You
right.
know, who knows? The guy might have had like a a late car payment, and he got a call from the company, and he's like, well, you know, I'm out of work right now, and I'm just making things up, you know?
Right.
And then like you leaning into his personal bubble was like the last straw.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough because with everything that's going on right now with COVID-19, and it seems like that's all we ever talk about anymore. Everybody is just so, I've noticed even people online.
Yes.
People online, the rhetoric and the arguments have become so much more intense. Mm-hmm. And everybody is just like jumping all over everybody. And you're absolutely right. There's no room for kindness. And it's a give and take. You know, when people aren't feeling particularly kind, you can't expect them to respond that way. But at the same time, you know, I look at it this way. I'm responsible for how I deal with people. I'm responsible for the way I react to people. And if I react in an unkind way, that's on me. If somebody reacts in an unkind way to me, well, I mean, ultimately that's on them, but I'm not going to hopefully hold it against them because, wow, like I said, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life at that moment too. And I think that's one of the things that's really great about Jesus and how he interacted with people, because he seemed to, like, even with a woman at the well, you know, he didn't say to her, "Hey, you're an adulteress, blah, 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 blah." He said, you know, go get your husband. You know, "I don't have a husband." "Well, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband." I don't think that it was necessarily an accusatory thing. I would think it was just something that he was saying so that she would understand who he was.
Right.
You know, and when you think about the way that he reacted with people, how he called Matthew out of the tax collector's booth, how he stood up for the woman caught in adultery, how he stopped a funeral procession and raised a young man to life because his mother was grieving. Just the things that he did, everything he did out of love. And I think kindness is really kind of like it's an outpouring of that love. And that's what we as Christians are called to do, right?
Absolutely.
To love our neighbor, to love God, to love each other. And again, not everybody out there is Christian. Not everybody out there, even there are some Christians who are not going to love perfectly. That's exactly part of being a Christian. We're not perfect.
Right.
We're just, we're works in progress, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is kind of what bugs me, especially particularly when it comes to Christians. You know, I personally believe as Christians, we're to be held to a higher standard. Yes, for human beings, and yes, for flawed human beings, but we're also called to a higher standard. And I like to reference the Apostle Paul. Paul had a particularly difficult time at Corinth, and in 2 Corinthians, which is my favorite letter of his, Paul tends to get very personal with his feelings, and he starts going on the attack against the people who oppose him, and basically he calls them frauds and whatnot. And Paul just pours out his feelings to the Corinthians, and he accuses them too of not appreciating him and what he's doing for them. And it makes me wonder, you know, as a pastor, if I was to bear my feelings out to my congregation or even to my fellow colleagues, you know, I've been in situations where that has not been well received because either I'm being offensive or I'm hurting somebody's feelings or causing harm. But then somebody that attacks me or is unkind to me, that's permissible, you know, as if they can hurt my feelings and that doesn't matter. But if I hurt theirs, then it matters. So that's kind of where I get hung up on this. Yes. I'm always the one like you, Brett. I always err on the side of caution and show kindness and compassion anyway. But at the same time, the same courtesy should be extended to me. You know, you don't know if I'm having a bad day. And what if I flipped out on you because, you know, I'm not in a particularly good place. So it's, I wrestle with that, you know. as particularly with Christians, being held to a higher standard. We're supposed to be mutually kind to one another. And, you know, so that's kind of what I wrestle with in terms of this.
Yeah. Again, I go back to, and I get a lot of this perspective from being in 12-step programs that, you know, I'm responsible for my own reaction. Right. I'm responsible for the way that I react.
Right.
I'm not responsible for the way somebody else reacts, but I am responsible for the way I react to their reaction, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so we have a prayer in 12-step programs that goes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So the things that I cannot change is everything and everybody around me. I can't change anything outside of myself. So the wisdom, the courage to change the things that I can means to change who I am in response to other people. And the wisdom to know the difference is to know that, okay, that's that person. I'm not going to change them. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, I could break down and cry, or I could threaten, I could scream, I could, you know, just shut down.
Yeah.
Whatever my reaction is not going to change who that person is and how they're going to act. Mm-hmm. But if I can change my own behavior, that I can do.
Yeah.
And so that's all I'm responsible for. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times when I've struggled with this, that I've, you know, that I have, I have a tendency to have a quick temper, you know, and it's very hard for me, especially, you know, when I'm dealing with people all the time at work, at Amazon, I check in truck drivers, and a lot of times they're upset with me for something that is totally beyond my control. Maybe they came to pick up a load and their load got canceled. Now they're yelling at me. And all I can do is say, listen, I'm sorry. I feel for you. You know, I have compassion for you. I'm sorry. You're still going to get paid because you checked in. It won't be as much as, you know, hauling a load. And I feel for people because that's their livelihood. But at the same time, you know, I'm bearing the brunt of their anger. I'm the face of their discomfort at that moment. And they're just going to take it out on me. And sometimes I just have to take it. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to take it. Don't talk to me that way. Grr, 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 you know,
right.
But then it escalates. What we want to do, especially as Christians, I think what we want to do is de-escalate. We want to, I like what Greg Laurie had to say something about when you say something critical to someone. He said, before you say something critical, think. I like this. Think. Okay. Think of the word think. All right. T-H-I-N-K. All right. And ask yourself, is what I'm about to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspired? Is it necessary? And is it kind? So I think if we take all of those things and remind ourselves of that acronym, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspired? Is it necessary? And is it kind? I think it's a really good way of thinking. Now, sometimes you don't have, in a split second, the ability to react, to sit there and go, well, is the thing that I'm going to say really true? Is it helpful? Is it kind? You know, but just if you work that into your daily routine, then I think that it becomes more natural to be able to say, okay, you know, I don't necessarily have to say what's on my mind right at this moment. I really want to. It's not going to help the situation any. It's not going to diffuse the situation at all. You know, I might feel good about dumping something on somebody else, but it's definitely not going to help. So anyway, that's just the way I look at it. And it's again, we're all in works in progress, and it's progress and not perfection, right?
Right, exactly. You know, I particularly feel, you know, I'm a passionate person by nature. I'm also a sensitive person by nature, but, you know, I have very strong views on things. And sometimes, you know, when I see injustice being done or when I feel strongly about a particular issue, my immediate thought is, and I think you can agree with this with our colleagues too, my immediate thought is to want to defend my position that what I believe is right because I feel convicted by it and I've done my research and what have you. But what I'm finding is, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but what I'm finding is, especially amongst our colleagues across the board, not just our denomination, but it's, you know, we want to stand at the pulpit and denounce certain points of view or denounce certain theological arguments or denounce certain theologies and criticize and demean people who disagree with us. And this was the brunt of my education in seminary. You know, the culture in Boston University was Republicans are evil, conservatives are evil. If you voted for Donald Trump, you don't belong in a church. And our sole purpose as pastors is to stand from the pulpit and basically say that if you're a Republican or a conservative, you're not a Christian, get out of my church. And to me, that is very unkind. It's also not compassionate. Now, you know, I understand we're works in progress, but, you know, I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I feel that's not my duty or my responsibility, especially from the pulpit, to condemn people who think differently than I do or who hold different positions than I do. And I think that's a culture that is increasingly getting worse and worse as we go on. So that's kind of like, you know, if we want to talk about kindness, then we also have to consider that as a leader, I have to, like you said, I have to keep my feelings in check and not abuse my authority and denounce people that I disagree with.
Yeah, I think it's tough too. And I think you'll also find that there are people with the exact opposite perspective.
Yeah.
Than what you're talking about. Oh, well, if you're conservative, you don't belong in the pulpit. You get that. Exactly. I know you got that a lot in Boston.
Yes.
I've gotten a lot of, well, if you're a Democrat, you can't even be a Christian.
Exactly.
And
right.
It's like, well, you can't win for losing.
Right.
Everybody has an opinion. You know, my grandfather used to say opinions are like buttholes, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You know, everybody's got one and nobody thinks theirs stinks. Right. So, you know, but all that said, again, you know, I can't change the way somebody reacts to me, but I can change the way that I react to someone else. And so that's really, I think, all that we're called to do.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? He said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him and offer your left.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be above restitution or we're not supposed to get revenge on people.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that's part of what forgiveness is too. Forgiveness. I think forgiveness is the ultimate expression of kindness because you're being sacrificial in forgiving someone and releasing them of the debt that they owe you, which sounds an awful lot like what Christ did for us. You know,
right.
And so it's easier when we look at it in the light of what God through Christ has done for us. And then it's like, well, you know, if Christ could forgive my mountain of sin, then I can forgive this little thing that this person has done against me. And ultimately, most of the things that people have done against us, no matter how monumental we might think it is, really doesn't amount to a whole lot in comparison to everything that we have banked against God in the sin column. It's mind-boggling what he's done for us. So it's definitely a good way of thinking about it too. It helps us when we can consider what Christ has done for us. It helps us to consider, you know, the people who are nailing him to the cross and he's crying out, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, you know? And I think we can learn a lot from that, you know?
Absolutely.
He was our example.
So then how do we model this in our churches? I mean, I think as, you know, pastors can do it, but I think we could model, how do we model kindness in our communities? I think we could start with showing compassion for one another and, mm-hmm. you know, keeping ourselves in check, as you said, but, you know, you can't control everyone, but you can at least set a model or a standard for, you know, and demonstrate what that looks like. So I think that's a good starting point, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to know too that, you know, we can't stop a speeding car by standing in front of it, but we also don't have to stand in front of it and let ourselves get run over.
Right.
You know, I think that when people treat us unkindly, when we respond with kindness, it's like what Paul says, you're heaping coals, hot coals on their head, you know, because when somebody treats you and is yelling at you and treating you very poorly, and you just say to them, hey, listen, I get it. God bless you, brother or sister or whoever it might be. Let's fix this situation. Let's find a solution to this problem. You know, and when you turn the volume down in the argument, you'll find that they will automatically turn it down as well. Mm-hmm. Here's another acronym for you. Tacos. I learned this one at Amazon, actually. So TACOS stands for threaten, argue, challenge, order, and shame. And the idea is you want to avoid TACOS. Avoid TACOS when you're talking with someone who is being combative or talking with someone who is being argumentative. In order to diffuse a situation, avoid those things. You don't want to threaten them. You don't want to argue with them. You don't want to challenge them. You don't want to order them to do something, and you certainly don't want to shame them. You know, look at how you're acting. You're acting like an idiot right now. You know, that's just all that does is ramp up those emotions. So a lot of times I think that when we respond to unkindness with kindness, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And I think God knows what he's talking about, you know, especially, you know, again, when Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that we are able to take those volatile situations and diffuse them in a Christian way. And again, we can't do this perfectly all the time. We're going to make our mistakes. We're going to have the day when, you know, my shoelace broke and I turned the key and realized that I have no gas in my car. And I looked at my wallet and there's, you know, moths fly out and now I'm having a bad day, you know? And the very first person who confronts me and tells me that I can't do something that I'm going to do is suddenly the focus of all of my ire. We're going to have bad days like that, unfortunately. And the best thing we can do in those situations is to admit that we're wrong, to admit that, you know, okay, look, I'm sorry for the way that I acted. I'm sorry for, you know, and I've done this, so I can't tell you how many times I've had to do this myself, even at work. You know, listen, I'm sorry for the way that I spoke to you. You know, it was uncalled for. I apologize. You know, I was completely wrong. And just own it. Just own it. Again, these are the things that we can do to diffuse those situations. But again, it also goes toward, I think, being a more kind person. And I think kindness is a habit that we form over time. It's something that we have to practice at. It's not something that comes naturally. Naturally, we just want to club each other over the head, you know, and have our own way. But as Christians, we're called to a higher thing, to a higher way of life. And God calls us to do hard things, to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek. And it's not easy, but it's what we are called to do.
Right. So I had a particular lesson in this myself last year during the, I think it was during the summertime. I was cleaning my house and I had to get cleaning supplies. So I had to run to the dollar store down the street here, the Family Dollar from the church. And I'm in there and getting checked out, and a delivery truck pulls into the store and parks right in front of my car, so I can't get out. And I was in a rush, and I was in a hurry, and I got upset and angry. And I was like, what the hell are they doing parking in front of? Don't they see I'm parked there? Why would they park there? And the person who was running the store is like, well, he parks there all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, no, they don't. They always park on the side of the building where they do deliveries. And so I go out there, and like a fool, I yelled at the driver, and he got upset with me and basically was saying, if, you know, I was telling him, I can't back out. And he's like, well, then hit my truck. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, that's a lawsuit, you know. And I'm sitting in my car slowly trying to back out. And thankfully, I got out. But I felt so bad because I got so angry. But my anger wasn't at the fact that the guy was parked in front of my car. My anger was because I thought that driver was being stupid and foolish. So that's the root of my anger. It was, they did something stupid. Why would they do that? It wasn't, you know, I could have easily waited and, you know, but because I had a preconceived notion, that's what fueled my anger. So later on, I went into the store and I apologized, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
So I could go back in there. But what made me think about this too, I was reading a book last week called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence.
I know that book well, yes.
It's a fascinating book. And just, you know, everything Brother Lawrence did, every thought he had was God and being in God's presence. When he would look at a tree branch or cook a meal, all he thought about was God. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a good practice to have for us as Christians, that when we feel like we're going to get angry, when we feel like we're going to be unkind, when we feel like we're going to be impatient or frustrated, just think about God and just, you know, just rest in God. And that's what I've been doing. I've been practicing that, and it's made me feel better, especially during these times, because I know much of what's happening is out of my control and I can't control it. So if I just think about God, then I'm calm and it's okay. So, but that was a very interesting lesson. And I think from now on, you know, keeping myself in check, like you said, I can only control what I do and how I respond. But, you know, I'm going to admit it does irritate me at times. Like on Facebook this morning, you know, the thread about the tattoos. Who cares if somebody wears tattoos? You know, what difference does it make? And you see the comments, these unkind comments. And I was thinking, Brett, you know, how is Brett thinking about this? Because I know you have tattoos. You know, yeah. I personally don't like them.
I don't care. I honestly don't care.
Right.
No, and the reason I don't care is – it's between me and God. And so if somebody's accusing me of being unchristian because I have tattoos, it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I got the majority of my tattoos before I was a Christian. Now, that's not excusing all of them, because I have gotten a couple since becoming a Christian. I have been convicted. I feel like I'm not going to be getting any more for sure. But I don't wear them. I don't feel shame over my tattoos.
Right.
I look at them as scars from sin. And I have a lot of scars in my body and in my spirit from sin. And, you know, like I said, I saw the thread about the tattoos and I just made one quick comment. I said, oh, I have them, you know,
right.
what do you want me to, so, you know, and because I see a lot of people who are shaming people. As a matter of fact, somebody tried that with me when I first came into church. Mm. Oh, well, haven't you ever read in Leviticus where it says you shall not make cut your body or make tattoos for the dead? And I was like, yeah. And she says, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I think that my tattoos are signs of my sin. Do you not have sin? Are you a sinless person? Because I really want to know how you've lived your entire life and never sinned, you know?
Right.
This is what it all goes back to. We're responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for each other. You know, we can, I think, in Christian love, but it has to be in love. Right. You know, Paul said, speak the truth in love, right?
Yes.
So don't, you know, try to shame somebody. That's the S in tacos, though. Remember, no shaming. You don't want to shame somebody, because what happens is they put up walls and then they shut down, and that's not constructive on any way. No. I think the best thing to do, and here's another Amazon concept, and I hate to keep bringing this stupid secular organization into play, but I here's an Amazon concept: seek to understand. Seek to understand. Instead of confronting somebody, instead of going up to somebody and saying, "Hey, you shouldn't have done blah 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 blah," go up to them and say, "Listen, what was it that was going on in your mind when you decided to react in this way?" Try to understand, because a lot of times, like I said, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. They might be having a really difficult day. They might be having a really difficult life. They might have just had to, I don't know, put their mother in a nursing home that day or that week or that month. You know, back in 2012, Aaron and I had a miscarriage, and I was really raw at work, and my boss could tell, and he brought me into his office and he said, "Listen, is there anything going on right now in your life? What's going on?" And he didn't, just bring me into his office and say, "Listen, you got to get your attitude right and you blah, blah, blah." He said, "No, listen, is there something going on? What's going on?" And when he said that, I just started crying in his office. And I said, "Listen, my wife and I had a miscarriage and I've really been taking it very hard." And he told me, he says, "Why don't you go home and take a couple of days off, just take some sick time. And when you feel better, come back, take some time to process that grief." But see, the first thing he did was he took time to understand what was going on before jumping on me, and I think it's important. We should try to understand each other. And I think that's part of being kind. Part of being kind is seeking to understand the other person's perspective before my own, and putting them first. And that's part of agape love. That's part of the love that God calls us to. It's a sacrificial love that puts others before myself. Yeah. And it's not easy, but that's what we're called to, right?
Yes. And I think another kind act would be if we are on the internet and we see something that, could potentially be hostile, to not respond or get involved in that conversation.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I see people getting mired in these internet confrontations, and I think to myself, dude, just scroll by. Yeah. Just keep on. And there have been times, and I'm guilty of it too, because I'll see that notification pop up, somebody responded to your comment, and I have to say to myself, Don't respond. Let's go see what they had to say, but I'm not going to say anything back. And I lay down that ground rule for myself, and I see it and it infuriates me. And I go, close it. Just close it. I'm done. I'm not. I turn off notifications,
Yeah.
There's exactly. So many tools that we can use to avoid those conflicts. And if they get the last word, I'm okay with that,
Exactly. I mean, I understand serious topics like abortion, or something like that. Okay. That's grounds for a conversation, but something like tattoos or how you wear your hat or, the kind of, it's the stupid petty things that people get upset about the most. But I guess, even people have strong opinions about what kind of food you feed your cat and, what color shoes you wear. I mean, it's just, but yeah, I think the kind thing would be if we know we're going to respond negatively, don't respond at all.
Yeah. And I think even in a hard discussion like abortion, which is such a raw emotional topic for so many people, a lot of times you can have those discussions and it can be very civil, but you end up with two people walking away from that discussion with the same opinion they had going in. Mm-hmm. And because everybody's heard all the arguments, on the pro-choice side, they've heard all the pro-life arguments. And on the pro-life side, they've heard all the pro-choice arguments. And they're basically responding to bullet points with bullet points. And eventually you have to come to a place where you say, look, we disagree on this and that's okay. I love you anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't weigh into our friendship at all. And I think that's important too. I think we can be friends with people that we disagree with. And I think that's an art that we have really lost.
Yes.
Especially in the last few years, it seems like if you disagree with me, unfriend me now. That seems to be like the catchphrase on Facebook and on social media, taking one particular side. If you voted for Trump and if you're going to vote for Trump in 2020, just unfriend me now. Why would you do that? Why would you deprive yourself of having that relationship with somebody with a differing point of view that you might be able to learn from and grow, you know? And the same on the other side. If you're not going to vote for Trump, you might as well unfriend me now. Again, all you're doing is creating for yourself an echo chamber where all you're hearing is your opinion bouncing back to you. And that seems to be what everybody wants. But I think that we as a society can grow a lot more if we can have civil discussions where we have differing opinions. We can really grow from those things. And again, that goes back to seeking to understand. And it also really, I think we've lost a lot of civility. We've lost a lot of civility in debate.
Yes, we have.
Debate can be, I think, a tool which helps us to grow from point A to point B. Classically, debate has been used throughout the ages to advance humankind to new places. And now we're at a place where we're like, well, no, I have my opinion. I'm driving my stake in the ground. Here I shall go and no farther. And with that kind of inflexibility, you're setting yourself up for, number one, a lot of anger, a lot of hurt feelings. And number two, you're never going to be able to grow because you will never understand someone else's opinion. I have a lot of opinion. I have a lot of people who are friends that are that have been, you know, that have way different opinions than I do, but I still value their friendship. And the other thing is, I have two rules on Facebook. Number one, I only add friends that I know personally, people that I know in real life. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not looking for like tens of thousands of friends. Okay. I'm looking for people that I know and I can talk to face to face. And number two, very, very rarely have I ever unfriended anyone. I've only ever let's see, 13 years of being on Facebook, I have unfriended two people.
Wow.
Two. And the one was because he wouldn't stop attacking me about being a Democrat and a Christian. You can't possibly be a Democrat and a Christian. And I couldn't, it was like daily, stop, just leave me alone. And finally I was like, you know, unfriend, unfollow, block, dumb, I'm done. I can't. And the other one was someone who accused me of working for Satan because I work for Amazon.
Wow.
So again, you know, but I don't know. I just don't know. It's, you can't figure out people sometimes, and that's okay.
Well, that's, I think the last thing I'll say is this, going back to President Trump, you know, I didn't vote for him. I don't like a vast majority of the stuff that he does, but I don't make jokes about him. I don't criticize him openly in public. You know, I don't make it a habit to stand at the pulpit and denounce him or his policies. You know, that's conversations that you have outside of the pulpit with members of your congregation. And also I know that a majority of my congregation supports the president, but there's a few who don't. So I don't make qualms about, you know, jabbing at the president and stuff. But I preached a sermon one time about politics, and when we go to the polls using sound judgment, you know, we have to use sound judgment when we elect our leaders. And a member of my congregation basically misconstrued that by saying that I supported President Trump and this person does not support him at all. So I had a conversation with him in his house and I said, you know, sir, I don't agree with the president's policies, but there are people that do. And my job is to guide them to say, make the sound judgment, yes, we can criticize any president. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. We can judge them morally, you know, and sometimes a majority of them use act repugnantly or act immorally. But that's a decision that we have to make as citizens to use sound judgment. And in our best judgment, we elect the leader that we feel will use or lead our country in the right direction. And in the Bible, there have been imperfect leaders. God has used imperfect leaders for his ends, you know. So, you know, this idea of making jokes about the president or denouncing him or, you know, thinking it's funny when, you know, calling him Orange Man and stuff. Okay, yes, he does some awful things. You know, I didn't like Barack Obama. I didn't hate the man. I didn't like some of his policies. I thought he was a good role model, not only for husbands, but fathers. And I generally think Barack Obama had the country's best interests at heart. But I didn't agree with his politics, but I didn't make fun of him. I didn't call him names. You know, I didn't wish him dead, you know, and certainly people who voted for him, I didn't have hatred towards them. And I was kind of compassionate. So it's like, you know, to me, it doesn't do us any good to criticize, or at least in a non-loving way, criticize somebody because they voted for President Trump or because you disagree with the president, to attack him as if he's not human because he's a sinner like we all are sinners. So what I do is I try to model, you know, like you said, I can control what I do, but I don't stoop to that level and attack somebody like that I disagree with. I'll point out their flaws, but I do it in a graceful and loving manner.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think this has been a really good discussion and on kindness and what our role is as Christians. Thanks again, Zach. I really appreciate the discussion. I appreciate the topic. I'm glad you brought it to me.
And anytime, my friend.
I'm glad that we had an opportunity to have this discussion today. Yes. And to seek to understand each other's perspectives. How's that?
Amen, brother. Thanks for inviting me. And I always look forward to our conversations. They are quite stimulating.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Thanks again, Zach.
No problem, brother. Yep. You too, brother. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching, as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith communities in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. If you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.